With the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Taylor Hillman.
It's a soggy Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. Most of the substantial rain has stopped around the state, with a few lingering showers here and there. There have been multiple mainstream media reports on flash flooding in the news in the last 36 hours. We hope everyone is safe and doing okay, and hopefully you didn't see a lot of damage. It is much needed rain, but it can cause problems, especially in some of those areas where the fires went through, and since we haven't had precipitation in a while. Let's get to the headlines, and we are going to start today by picking back up with a theme from yesterday's headlines. Covering more of President Trump's address at the American Farm Bureau Federation convention earlier this week, Trump touted his administration's continued repeal of intrusive regulations. He said for every new signed regulation under his administration, they've repealed 22 old ones. One the administration was particularly proud of was the Waters of the U.S. rule.
My administration is in the process of rolling back a rule that hit our farmers and ranchers very, very hard. The terrible Waters of the United States rule. You know about that. It sounds so nice. It sounds so innocent. And it was a disaster. And I have to say this. When I signed it, I say, oh, I'm going to be killed on this one. And you know what? People came to me and they saw me and they were crying. We ditched the rule, I call it. We ditched the rule.
We'll air a large portion of President Trump's speech later on in the show. During the 99th Annual American Farm Bureau Federation Convention, AFBF President Zippy Duvall said he had no conversations with the Trump administration or Secretary Perdue about a Plan B for the North American Free Trade Agreement.
There has been no communication between me and the Secretary of Agriculture about there being a Plan B or something that's there. My discussions with the Secretary is that this trade treaty is going to be negotiated and our farmers and ranchers are going to be okay in the end. And I don't know about y'all, but I have a lot of faith in Secretary Sonny Perdue.
Duvall noted that Farm Bureau has some concern that the administration is focusing on current trade agreements and not opening up new markets for farmers with new trade agreements.
We're ready to get this done, get past it, so that we can move forward on new bilaterals or multilateral trade treaties, however this president wants to do that. Most of the population in this world does live outside our country, and we need the opportunity to sell those people, and we're really ready to work with him to get that done.
President Donald Trump spoke at the convention Monday, focusing on regulations and taxes. Meanwhile, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, appearing before Trump during the event's closing session, addressed NAFTA, expressing faith that a new agreement will be reached.
I want you to know that I have great faith in President Trump's skills as a negotiator, and I'm quite confident that he will strike the best deal possible for the United States and that we will have a fair NAFTA agreement that works well for our economy, including the agricultural sector.
Perdue says it's time for negotiators from Canada to quote-unquote step up and engage in meaningful conversation regarding dairy and poultry tariffs to get closer to finishing the negotiations. Now here's Brian German.
The Food and Drug Administration announced its intention to exercise enforcement discretion for portions of the Food Safety Modernization Act. The FDA stated there are no plans to enforce certain provisions as they currently apply, so as to provide adequate time for the consideration of changes or alternative approaches to enforcement. The discretion announcement pertains to specific portions in the current good manufacturing practice, the hazard analysis and risk-based preventative controls for human food rule, and the harvesting, packing, and holding of produce for human consumption rule, among others. Some of the considerations being made are how these rules will apply to facilities that would be considered farms, except for certain factors and activities. Other considerations address the written assurances provisions in the rules related to the control of identified hazards that are a potential risk to public health. These enforcement discretion policies will remain in place until the FDA takes further action on each of the issues under consideration. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
In today's Almond Matters, brought to you by Valent, AgNet West's Brian German is back, and he talked with Valent's Tino Lopez about some added benefits growers get from peach twig borer control.
I'm Tino Lopez with Valent USA. I'm a field market development representative, and I do field research for the company mostly here in California.
Today, we're talking a little bit about the peach twig borer and kind of some of the benefits you get with making sure to get adequate control of the pest. Now, you've mentioned kind of that it has the added benefit of also helping to combat naval orangeworm.
Yeah, I think worm control, especially since last year we had such high pressures of naval orangeworm, I think it's important to start early with a program. And that program kicks off with peach twig borer control so that later on in the season when naval orangeworm becomes a problem, it is less of a problem to have to deal with. And what happens is peach twig borer predisposes the almond nuts for the naval orangeworm to attack them. And so if you can have a good, clean nut to begin with, you have less attraction or less predisposition, I would say, of the naval orangeworm going after those nuts. In addition to that, and again, I'm interrelating the control of peach twig borer, naval orangeworm, and also ants. One of the strategies that many growers will use is to shake the nuts a little greener than they like to at times, just to prevent naval orangeworm damage. If you shake them on the ground and you have ants, that could be an issue where the ants will feed on those nuts for a longer period of time. So it's critical also to have good ant control. So I interrelate those three pests, peach twig borer, naval orangeworm, and ants. Having a good program to control them, you know, help each other out, and you end up with a lot cleaner and less call nuts.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. We'll be right back.
This is California Farm Bureau Federation President Jamie Johansson, and you're listening to Agnet West Radio Network.
This is Norm Groot, the Executive Director for Monterey County Farm Bureau, and you're listening to Agnet West Radio.
Welcome back to Agnet West's Farm City Newsday. More agriculture news for you now.
Goat owners, producers, veterinarians, and 4-H and FFA members from throughout California will gather on Saturday, January 20th at the UC Davis Conference Center for Goat Day 2018. The event will run from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. It's being sponsored by the UC Davis Department of Animal Science, the California Dairy Herd Improvement Association, and the UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine. The event will begin with a welcome address where attendees will hear information on facility updates. The morning sessions will include research updates, along with information regarding antimicrobial use and stewardship, as well as goat identification updates. The afternoon rotating sessions will take place at the Cole facility and Meyer Hall. Some of the presentations will feature feeding strategies for kids and pathology information. Registration is available through the UC Davis Department of Animal Science website for Goat Day 2018, happening Saturday, January 20th. I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, a 2017 study says U.S. pork farmers get a very positive return on their checkoff investment. That study was done by Harry Kaiser at Cornell University, where 91% of the pork farmers who took part in the November survey acknowledged their overwhelming support of the pork checkoff, knocking opposition levels down to just 3%. The National Pork Board commissions a study every 5 years. According to Terry O'Neill, National Pork Board president, it's important that producers who directly support and fund the pork checkoff to understand and quantify the value of their investment. Now, the most recent study covers the years of 2011 through 2016, and it shows that among other returns on investment, each dollar invested in production research to benefit on-farm practices yielded $83.30 in producer value. Each dollar invested in developing foreign markets returned $24.70 in producers' benefits. Other pork promotions resulted in benefits of $14.20 for advertising, $12.40 for non-advertising promotions. Collectively, the overall checkoff return for all activities is $25.50 for each dollar invested. Well, organic milk sales are dropping, but sales of so-called plant-based milk are rising. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that organic milk sales fell 2.5% last year, slightly less than traditional white milk that fell 4.5%. Plant-based milks rose 2.9% in sales, but the largest gains in milk sales were seen by specialty milk, which would include products like lactose-free. Organic milk prices fell from roughly $40 per hundredweight in 2016 to $27 last year. Organic dairy processors are looking for new ways to move their product. Company officials in Organic Valley, the nation's largest organic dairy cooperative, expects prices to stabilize this year and hopefully improve next year, but did not expect the market to take its recent turn. Meanwhile, farmers who spoke with the Wall Street Journal said the market conditions were tough to deal with, and one even was culling dairy cows to adjust. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture wants to remind fluid milk producers and others interested parties and other interested parties to nominate candidates to serve on the National Fluid Milk Processor Promotion Board, but the deadline to do that is this Friday, January 12th. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue will be appointing 8 individuals to succeed members whose terms expire on June 30th of this year, and 2 members to fill vacant positions with those terms expiring June 30th of 2019. USDA will be accepting nominations for board representation in 6 geographic regions and 2 at-large positions. And one of those geographic regions is Region 15, which covers Southern California. Now, newly appointed members will serve 3-year terms from July 1 of this year through June 30th of 2021. Now, fluid milk producers and interested parties may submit nominations for their region in which they are located. For more information, simply go to the AMS website. That's ams.usda.gov. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West. AgriView with Evergreiner is next.
California's citrus crop is bigger than Florida's this year for the first time ever. There is a reason. In fact, 2 reasons. Weather and disease. Citrus greening had reduced Florida's crop to just about half of what it once was. And then came Irma, the hurricane that destroyed most of agriculture from the Caribbean to the Carolinas. Took half of what crop was left in Florida. In fact, they're still counting losses from Irma in Florida, in Georgia, and in Carolinas. But while these losses were staggering, California citrus growers were harvesting a record-breaking crop. Meanwhile, greening, the disease that has proven so costly to Florida growers, has now been found in California. Not as bad as in Florida, but it's there. And if it's there, it's a problem. And only time will tell how bad. And that's AgriView for today. Everett Griner, Agnet West.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. More agriculture news and farm features are coming up. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. In today's interview segment, we bring you a portion of President Donald Trump's address at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. We jump ahead past his introduction and greeting.
The men and women in this room come from different backgrounds and from all across our land, but each of you carries the same title that's been proudly borne by patriots and pioneers, inventors and entrepreneurs, the title of, very proudly, American Farmer. Thank you very much. You embody the values of hard work, grit, self-reliance, and sheer determination we need to, did you ever hear this expression? Make America great again. Has anybody ever heard? And we're seeing already, it's very early, 11 months, the incredible results. We've created more than 2 million new jobs since the election, substantially more. Economic growth has surged past 3%, something that wasn't supposed to happen for a long time. We're way ahead of schedule. Unemployment is at a 17-year low. By the way, African-American unemployment is the lowest it's ever been in the history of our records. Great. I told you, the stock market is hitting one all-time record after another, boosting your 401ks and retirement accounts for everyday Americans. Everybody happy with your 401k? Because if you're not, there's something very wrong. I had a policeman in New York come up to me and said, Mr. President, I was shaking hands. Do we love our police and our uniform? And he came up, he was online, and we're taking pictures, and it was a nice event. And he said, sir, I want to thank you for my 401k. I never thought in terms of this way. I said, I think I'm going to use this every once in a while. He said, My 401k is up 39%. It's so good. My wife thinks I'm, don't forget, this is like in 9 months when I met him. He said, my wife thinks I'm an investment genius. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And I said, you know what? Based on the stocks, 39 is not that good. You're not really doing that well. Don't tell your wife that. The American dream is roaring back to life, and we have just signed into law the most significant tax cuts and reforms in American history. It's a total of $5.5 trillion in tax cuts, with most of those benefits going to working families, small businesses, and who? The family farmer. Businesses across America have already started to raise wages, and more than 100 companies have already given bonuses and other benefits to hundreds of thousands of workers as a result of these massive tax cuts. You see it happening every day. Today, they just announced more. $1,000, sometimes more per employee, hundreds of thousands of employees, and overall millions of employees. We have over a million workers that have already received a tax cut bonus, something that nobody even thought when we made the bill. Nobody thought of that. It happened. AT&T came out. Another one came out. Another one. Then they started copying. Now the ones that didn't get it, everyone's saying, where's mine? So they're all going to have it. So we never thought about it. And frankly, that worked out fantastically well, even before the February date where you're going to start seeing a lot more money in your paycheck. And yet every Democrat in the House and every Democrat in the Senate voted against tax cuts for the American farmer and for the American worker. But Republicans came together and delivered historic relief for our farmers and our middle class. And it wasn't easy. And we cannot let anything happen to that. And if the Democrats ever had the chance, the first thing they would do is get rid of it and raise up your taxes, sometimes by 40, 50, 60% higher than you're paying right now. We can't have that. That will undermine everything that we've done. You see the record business all over the world. They're talking about the United States again, all over the world. We cannot let anything happen to what we're doing. Under the really large tax cut, I always call it massive. Sometimes they say huge. Not a bad one. Huge tax cut. But under our huge tax cut that we just passed, Americans will be paying less in taxes and keeping more of their own money to do what you want. You can save it, you can spend it, but it's all good for our country. We've lowered tax rates, nearly doubled the standard deduction, and doubled the child tax credit. It's a big thing. Under this new law, the typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000 each, slashing their tax bill in half each year. American businesses are going from the highest tax rate in the developed world. Last year, the highest in the developed world, think of it, to one of the most competitive this year, from 35%, which is unacceptable, all the way down to 21%. And on top of that, you have a lot of advantages. Small and mid-sized businesses will receive massive tax cuts. It's a lot of the folks in this room. They'll be able to deduct 20% of their business income. All American businesses, including American farmers, will be able to deduct 100% of the cost of new equipment in the year you make the investment. That is something that is tremendous. That is something that I think is going to be the sleeper of the bill. You deduct it all in 1 year, as opposed to over many years. That's a tremendous thing. And from now on, most family farms and small business owners will be spared. And you're going to be spared. And it really is the word punishment of the deeply unfair estate tax known as the death tax, so you can keep your farms in the family.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. Managing nematode issues in walnuts is all about before planting trees. UC Cooperative Extension crop advisor Danny Lytle says making sure you know the scope of your issue is the first step.
Right, so the first thing you always want to do is please go ahead and either do it yourself, have your PCA do it, take a nematode sample and send it off to a lab. And the reason that you want to do this is to figure out what level of problem you may be dealing with. So if you've only got one lesion nematode versus 80 lesion nematodes, that's a big difference in your nematode pressure out there.
Lytle said once that's determined, you can move forward.
Once you know what your risks are, you then want to go ahead and, especially if you're removing an old orchard, you want to treat those trees properly as you're getting them out of there to reduce that nematode pressure the next time around.
Stay with Agnet West for tips on treating those trees and how long you should wait before replanting. Idaho's so-called ag gag law prevents recording devices from being brought onto farms or slaughterhouses without the owner's consent. But now, a provision of that law was struck down by a 3-judge appeals court panel. The panel said in its decision that criminalizing the undercover videotaping violates the constitutional right to freedom of speech. A recent report says Idaho state lawmakers passed a bill in 2014 making it a crime to videotape feedlots, dairies, and other farming operations without the owner's knowledge. The Idaho dairy industry brought up the concerns after a 2012 undercover video surfaced, saying it damaged their business. Media outlets, civil rights groups, and animal activists sued the state, saying the law criminalized legitimate undercover journalism. The law requires anyone who violates it to pay restitution directly to the business. A federal judge ruled that the Idaho law was unconstitutional in 2015, which was then appealed. Court documents say the panel held that the subsection criminalizing innocent behavior was staggeringly overboard and that the purpose of the statute was, in large part, targeted at speech and investigative journalists. Iowa, Utah, Missouri, Kansas, North Dakota, Montana, and North Carolina have similar ag gag laws on their books. Court challenges to the law are underway in North Carolina and Utah. California, of course, tried to pass a similar law in 2013. The California State Assembly introduced the Animal and Ecological Terrorism Act, which was sponsored by Assemblymember Jim Patterson and the California Cattlemen's Association. It was dropped quickly amid what they called stiff and growing opposition. The bill would have required somebody recording a video at a farm operation to turn it over to law officers within 24 hours. In other words, before investigators could document any illegal activity under federal food handling and safety laws. Failure to turn it in would have cost a fine. A panel discussion at American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention focused on the opioid epidemic, which is reported at impacting 3 out of 4 farmers. Michael Clements has more.
The discussion focused on a collaboration between the American Farm Bureau Federation and National Farmers Union called Farmtown Strong, which the Agriculture Department is supporting as part of its commitment to rural prosperity. The campaign uses the Farmtown Strong website to raise awareness of opioid addiction and follows a joint survey by AFBF and NFU showing rural America is harder hit than urban areas. AFBF President Zippy Duvall says the campaign should serve as a conversation starter in rural America.
That we need to understand and what's so important about Farm Town Strong is that if we can get people to open up and if we can get people to talk about it and get the awareness of it, then we can get them some help.
NFU President Roger Johnson says addressing the epidemic requires the agriculture community to come together.
If there's anything that the farming community is known for, it's when somebody is hurt, the whole community turns out to help them. And if there is a bright side to this dark cloud, it is that when times are really tough in agriculture, the community comes together to help support them.
Duvall says coming together and providing much-needed resources will not only help address the epidemic, it will save lives. Learn more online at farmtownstrong.org. Michael Clements, Nashville.
To get more information on topics you've heard today, visit AgnetWest online at agnetwest.com. You can also follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German @BrianAgnetWest and Taylor Hillman @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.